Harper Audio presents The Alice Behind Wonderland by Simon Winchester. This is the author. This book is dedicated to Cybele. Chapter 1. The photograph in question. On the main floor of the Firestone Library, the cosily magnificent and prematurely ancient, it was built in 1948, Gothic centrepiece of the Princeton University campus, there is what appears to be the private library of an English gentleman's country house, carefully set back and hidden away to keep it from the general bustle of readers. Beyond its collection of leather-bound books, this room within a room is notable for its deep and corduroy-ribbed reading chairs, stained glass, richly polished panelling, lamps, and portraits. Perhaps most impressive of all to those of a romantic disposition is its baronial fireplace, in which, however, no fire is ever permitted to be lit because of its being sited within a great and very flammable academic library. The room is more than just a faithful reproduction of the library. It is the library, reconstructed panel by panel, carpet by carpet, book by book, the library of a mansion, Dormy House, built some 30 miles away in the tiny New Jersey hamlet of Pine Valley, a swanky Philadelphia suburb, really. The house was owned by a wealthy financier, Morris Longstreth Parrish, a Princeton alumnus whose passions were many, though few so great as that for collecting Victorian books. Parrish and Company was a prominent Philadelphia stockbroking firm, a member of the Exchange from the end of the 19th century, and owned by a colonial-era family long prominent in mainline society. Well-travelled and well-rounded, Morris Parrish never graduated from Princeton. His wealth and other interests much distracted him from his studies. But as a young man, he developed a keen interest in books. He read everything he could furiously, though he much preferred the Victorian and Edwardian classics to later 20th century novels, which he generally disdained, though he prized them as objects later. Nonetheless, reading was all. He abhorred dust jackets, slipcases, pencilled prices marked inside the cover, and unread books. "A collector who has unopened books is to me an enigma," he once wrote. "He cannot, of course, read them, and no one can deny that if a book cannot be read, it loses its purpose of existence." He started collecting in the early 1890s, his initial aim the perfection of his parents' collection of Charles Dickens novels, which his father had bought edition by edition as they were published. Morris made an early and ill-advised decision to rebind some of these volumes for his father in glossy red leather, learning betimes that the smartest collectors strived not to prettify their books but to maintain them in a state as close as possible to their original condition. From then on, a steely determination settled on Mr. Parrish, and with little care for expense, he set about ensuring that every book that he acquired was in near original condition. Dealers soon recognised what he wanted and what he could afford. The term "in Parrish condition" is still employed in the antiquarian book trade to denote books of such quality as to represent the apotheosis of the collector's art. It was during the Great War that Parrish's collecting zeal and acumen came to be widely recognised, and before long, dealers around the world were helping him to complete full-spectrum runs of all of the authors he admired. From the Brontes to Robert Louis Stevenson, from Sir James Barrie to Charlotte Yonge, he collected everything. Every book, every edition, every pamphlet, playbill, poster, binding, variant, and foreign language version ever made, so he could rightly claim to have the world's best and most comprehensive collection of English Victorian fiction. By the time he died in 1944, Parrish's formal Victorian library amounted to approximately 6,500 volumes, representing the careers in full of the authors he most favoured: Thackeray, Carlyle, Trollope, Wilkie Collins, Dickens, Bulwer Lytton, and Froude among them, and most comprehensively almost the entire oeuvre of the Christchurch Oxford mathematics lecturer Charles Lutwidge Dodgson, now more familiarly known as Lewis Carroll. The first manuscript of Alice's Adventures in Wonderland is in London, and a few scores of the good photographs are scattered in libraries around the world. Almost everything else, however, is in the Parrish. All of these authors' books, and more than 1,000 manuscripts, mostly letters by and to them, were then left to Princeton, his alma mater having given him, perhaps in the spirit of fondly appreciated anticipation, an honorary degree in 1939, 5 years before he died. The collection he bequeathed is now worth untold millions.